the Psalms, Psalms number 12. Just six verses in that psalm. Psalms 12. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord. If you don't have your Bibles, it's up on the wall, folks. For although thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou dost comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. God bless him, his glorious name today. I'm excited, as I said. So let's just see where God leads us today in Psalms 12. Now, there are many instances in the Bible and in the lives of people I've met who were apprehended, sought out, rescued, or called out and called to Jesus. Is that your story? I wasn't seeking the Lord. He found me. I didn't find him. He rescued me. And he allowed me to experience a love that I never experienced ever, and which I'm still experiencing today. This is what happened to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. We don't have that scripture. I just mention it, his Damascus Road experience. And this is what 2 Corinthians 3:18 refers to as we are being transformed into the same image, God's or Christ's, from glory to glory. So this is a process of being changed from selfish to selfless, from self-centered to Christ-centered. You know, you have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And I'm always, it's a challenge. Even when I'm sitting before the Lord preparing a Sunday sermon, I have to kind of always be listening. And he will give me scriptures or he will speak things. And what I heard was the expression true north. And it's more than a snack mix, that expression, although it's a very good snack mix if you've ever had their products. But true north, you're not going to find true north in a physical sense by using a compass. Because why? The earth is always rotating depending on the season, and a compass will approximate it, but it won't exactly get true north, which is an imaginary line through the center of the earth leading directly to the North Pole. But spiritually speaking, true north is finding our purpose, meaning, and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Quite simply, that. That's what true north means. That's our reference point in him. and Him alone. Jeremiah 29:13 reads, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And that is actually the scripture that Kim opened with this morning. And it was in the very first song that we sang this morning. So God is saying something. You know, sometimes we feel like God's not listening, or we don't feel His presence. It's not based on feeling. It's based on truth. God is with us. He won't abandon us. But there's something, God's interested in that process of what happens in us when we undergo difficulties. But He's there. If we seek Him, we'll find Him when we search for Him with all our heart. And I also found, be patient with me, there's a verse that has a special place in my heart, and that's Jeremiah 29:11. So when I went to verse 13, verse 11 is the backdrop for what God speaks in verse 13. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And so sometimes when we're in the midst of stuff, life's stuff, we forget what God has said and His commitment to us. Okay? And our part in that covenant relationship is if we seek Him, we will find Him when we search for Him with all our heart. In the New Testament, Hebrews 12:2 expresses this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now, strictly speaking, this Psalms 12 was written as a song. If you do a little homework, and I'm not going to go into it, but it was to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, the very first Feast of Tabernacles, when God had called the people back from here, there, and everywhere, and Jerusalem was being rebuilt, and so forth. And so the Feast of Tabernacles is observed in the fall. It's actually coming up this year, October 4th to the 11th. And it celebrates and remembers God's provision in the wilderness. But it also celebrates His faithful provision in the future, today and into the future, His faithfulness to meet your every need. And so I think if you keep that in mind, this is the backdrop for Psalms 12. And there's a song written by Edward Moat and W.B. Bradbury called The Solid Rock. It's an old, I would say, Pentecostal type song that some of us, when we were younger in the Lord, sang. We don't hear it too much anymore. But the first verse is, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And then, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And so, that's what True North is all about, is fixing our eyes on Jesus. And even if we feel like we're sinking, sinking is not a bad thing when Jesus is with you, because He's about something. He's accomplishing something in your life and in mine. Even though we don't feel it or see it at the time, we know it to be true. So, obviously, I entitled this message, True North, or one true source, or the source of all blessing. You choose. And so, true north, he's the source, he being Jesus. He's the source of comfort, it says there in verse 1. Psalms 12, verse 1. Thou dost comfort me. And it's not talking about making you comfortable. Not talking about that. It's talking about giving you strength and hope when you're going through some things. It speaks of God's care and his relationship, his covenant relationship with every believer to work in our life circumstances. So it speaks of relationship, his care and intimacy, or into me see, because he knows where you're at. Once every 10 years I make a mistake, and I guess today I made another mistake. Oh, well, it won't be the last time I make a mistake. Yes. I don't mind being corrected, even if it's by you. Isaiah 12. Sorry about that. It's a good thing the Lord forgives me. Amen. So, the Lord into me see, the Lord knows what we're feeling, where we're at, what we need, and he opens his provision for you. See, that's the key. The Lord is always there, but we get distracted or we focus on some other things instead of on him, instead of seeking him so that we'll find him. Jeremiah 29:13. And so, but it's not, it says he comforts us, but it's not to make us comfortable. There's a world of difference there. You know, I once knew a little girl, and I still know her, although she's not so little anymore, but when she was little, her version of praise the name of Jesus was a little different than our version. You know the song? Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Well, her version was, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rocker, he's my furniture, in him will I trust. But it makes sense, doesn't it? So, he's the God of comfort, but he doesn't necessarily make us comfortable. Second Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And it's no accident that in the Greek language, that word is paraklesis, from paraklete. Paraklete being the Holy Spirit, and it's about calling near, calling alongside. And so he comforts us by meeting with us. You see, if you can, if you know that Jesus is there in the middle of your storm, that's comfort. It doesn't mean the winds stop, the rain, the waves could be huge, but when you know that Jesus is there, that's comfort. That's security. And so we need to be renewed, refreshed, and refired by the comfort only He can provide. That's what the Lord was saying to me. And also, He reminded me, you know, we're so spoiled in this country. You know, we really are. You know, years ago, you wanted to light the grill. There's only one way to do it. You needed a match or some sort of fire. And then, whew, up it went. Now we have these little push-button things. They're called igniters. But my grill is older, and so one day I push in the igniter and nothing's happening. And so I do a little investigating. I take it apart, because whether you know it, that igniter has a battery. You can't see it, but it's there. And so I've got a nice new battery. Felt pretty good. I got the thing apart, got a new battery in, pressed it, nothing. And so I have to revert to the old style of lighting a match and going, whoosh, or buy a new grill, which I don't want to do. So God will ignite you. He has a way of doing that, or reigniting you. Even when there seems to be no fire, there's always a way. God's way. So secondly, our source of true north, He's the source of our salvation. Verse 2. It says there, "Behold, God is my salvation." And He proved that. Remember I said they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booth. They're celebrating God's provision in the wilderness. He proved Himself faithful. And if you read the scripture, it says their sandals didn't wear out. They didn't need to buy a new wardrobe. Everything lasted for 40 years. Unlike today, where you buy something and 3 weeks later, it's useless, it's worthless, because the quality is not what it was. But God was involved, so that influenced how long those things lasted. Proven in the wilderness time, or their time of need, or their time of testing. So the psalmist says, God is my salvation, so I will trust and not be afraid. In other words, in your present circumstances, you know God's track record. He's proven Himself to you. He's been faithful. And so even though it doesn't look like it, He's going to still work His handiwork in your impossible situations, in your trials and testings, or your proving, the Lord was saying to me. And it's talking here about the nation of Israel, yes, but the principle applies to all who call upon the name of the Lord as well. Isaiah 45:17. Israel has been saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. And it's no secret that the Middle East is a powder keg right now. And there's one reason and one reason alone that Israel hasn't been blown to oblivion. Because God is an everlasting salvation. He won't allow it. Psalms 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous, that's you and I, is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Now later on in that verse 2 in Isaiah 12, It says, he has become my salvation. So, yes, on the day you received the Lord as your Savior, he was your salvation. But aren't you glad it doesn't end there? He continues, and he allows us to experience the truth that he has become your salvation. It's a process of walking with him and seeing how he comes through when you need him. It makes that truth personal or relevant in your life circumstances. But again, you have to seek him and you will find him, Jeremiah 29:13, when you search for him with all your heart. He's involved in your circumstances, but you might not see him. And also that's where the story about Zacchaeus comes in, where the Lord was drawing Kim's attention to see, that word see. He wanted to see the Lord. Well, he didn't know the Lord had so much more for him, just like he has so much more for us. The final chapters haven't been written in your life. You're still here. You're still alive. And so God has many more things planned for you and I. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And the margin there reads, abundantly available for help. And the Amplified adds, well proved. In the past, in other words, he showed himself faithful in your tight spaces. And if we move on to verse 10 there in Psalms 46, don't know if I asked you. Yes, I did. It says, cease striving and know that I am God. So you have to read the scripture as an entity. Those are connected. Verse 1 and verse 10 have a connection. And so the margin notes, I kind of had to laugh. It says, let go and relax. And my paraphrase of that would be, he's got you covered. And so a man by the name of Alan Redpath, in his book, The Making of a Man of God, he said this, the conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment, but the making of a saint is the task of a lifetime. And see, this salvation, he has become my salvation, is a process that we need to participate in and partner in and submit to with the work of the Holy Spirit. So we need not to just receive salvation at a point in time and then we're good. We can just coast. We got our ticket to heaven and so we're good. Yeah. No. Salvation is an ongoing process and we need to receive his salvation every day that we are alive. And I think I was like this, but when you're a parent, your children teach you a lot about yourself. And so I had a certain one to remain anonymous. And they said, I want to do it myself. And I know that's you and I, all 100%. There's not a one who is not like that inside, whether we say it or not. We want to do it when it's God's pleasure and desire for him to do those things for us and in our lives. So we have to get over ourselves. The true north, or the true source of all blessing. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. Number three, he's the source of strength and song. Verse 2. Now, if we go to Deuteronomy 31:6, this is Moses' charge to Israel and to Joshua before the journey into the promised land. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. And so the verse there, verse 2, says, the Lord God is my strength and my song. And so that's recorded here in Isaiah. And it was also recorded the first time was in Exodus 15:1-3, just for your study. And the third time is in Psalms 118:14-17. To redeem the time, I'm just going to give you those today. And so it says, he's my strength and my song. Now, your joy finds expression in song. At least that's the way I see it. And my granddaughter, Mirabel Joy, which her name is, that means wondrous joy, she is just full of joy. And so when she plays, she sings. She makes up songs. Or she sings songs that she knows. But it just brings me an immense amount of joy to see her and to listen to her. So how do you think the Lord feels when we sing to him? When we get over ourselves and just say, I'm going to give it my best. You know, he's not interested of whether you sing on key or not. He's interested in whether you're willing to sing to him. And I firmly believe that we all carry a song, an individualized song. You've heard me say this before. And there's times when I'm worshiping the Lord and that song just comes out. You know, my spirit is open to him, and that song, that melody, I can tell you the melody. I recognize it from when I was early on walking with the Lord. It just comes out because I'm free before him. I'm just abandoning myself to the Lord, and that song just wells up inside of me. And I exhort you that that song is in you. The problem is the enemy wants to suppress it. The world wants to keep it in, doesn't want you to let it out. It wants to drown it out, in fact. But we need to let that expression of him that he's put in us come out. He's your strength and your song. And he's your joy. Nehemiah 18, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalms 18, wow, my tongue just won't cooperate today. What can I say? More than one mistake in one day. The day was perfect until I got out of bed. Psalms 89:15. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound of the Lord. They walk in the light of thy countenance, or his presence. Psalms 92, verse 4. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad by what thou hast done, and I will sing for joy at the work of thy hands. You and I need to refuse to allow our circumstances to dictate to us whether we have a good day or a bad day. We have the Lord. What more do we need? And so we have to rise above the stuff and worship him. Give ourselves again and again and again to him. Our true north is the source of life and the Holy Spirit as well. Number four, from verse 3. It says, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Now, ultimately, you have to understand, we're looking at the Old Testament through Jesus' glasses. It's pointing to the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the release of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament times, which are still unfolding. So there's an open invitation to come and drink from him and the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone, does that say everyone? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and so forth. Likewise, Psalms 36:8. They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and thou dost give them to drink of the river of thy delights. I just love this scripture. Because not only does he provide the water, he gives it to us. It's not like we have to go searching, like with one of those diviner things, you know, in the wild, wild west. No, we don't have to search. We have to seek. And he'll release that water that we need. Whether it's a sprinkle or a shower or a rainstorm. Or a thunderstorm, even. But it's pointing to the New Testament and the coming fullness of Holy Spirit. John 4:14. The well of water springing up to eternal life. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but it will spring up to eternal life. In John 7:37 and 38, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And Jesus is, he shouted this out in the temple. And you can be sure the Pharisees were not very happy. And the council was not very happy. Because he was saying, I am the source of life. I am true north, in other words. I am what the world needs. And they were like, nope. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me drink. And then he'll release those rivers of living water in you and, more importantly, through you. Because the water of life is not just for you. You understand? It's for you to bubble up and overflow on the lives of people who don't know him, who don't have the hope, who don't know the hope that lives within us. That's really the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit, or the water of life here. So we need to receive of his fullness, intimately and unashamedly drink. And the word came to me, it's not a word we hear every day, quaff. You know that word? Eddie knows. Q-U-A-F-F. It means to drink deeply and repeatedly. You know, like when you've been out working in the heat and you come in and you drink that whole bottle down or your whole glass and then you fill it up and you drink another one. That's what the scripture is exhorting us to do, to drink of that water that he provides for us. Because it'll satisfy that spiritual thirst. And number five, he's the source of promise, provision, and presence, verses 5 and 6. says there, he has done excellent things. It speaks of, that's verse 5, Isaiah 12, 5. It speaks of his past provision and fulfillment of his promises to you and in your life. But if it was just that, it would be awesome. But it also points to the future, that he will continue to do that also. Because Jeremiah 29, 11, to give you what? A future and a hope. Second Peter 1, 3 and 4. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. The Amplified reads, "For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him," Jesus, "who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature." So, I would say it this way. He comes to his sons and daughters. Love always comes. That's who he is. That's the essence of who God is. He's always coming. He's always reaching out to us wherever. You know, mentally, we think, well, you know, God's only there when things are going great. That's false. That's not true. He's there all the time. And especially in the times when we need him the most. Love always comes. That's speaking of the remnant of his people here in these final verses here in Isaiah 12. And I'll give you some scriptures. I'm not going to go there. Zephaniah 3:17 and Zechariah 2:5. But I will read Proverbs 3:32, the second half. It says, "He is intimate with the upright." In other words, he meets with us and he reveals his secrets. He reveals himself, ultimately. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt make known to me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy." So we need to diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6, and his kingdom, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added to us. All the things that we're concerned about, well, God's concerned about them, but not in the same way that we are, because he knows he's going to provide them anyway. He's not worried about whether we're going to have enough, because he's more than enough. That song we sing, he's more than enough for me. So his desire and his will for you and I is to find him, to find true north, in other words. And on our part, we need to diligently pursue him, and he will prosper us. And, you know, sometimes your definition of prosperity is not the same as his. And that's where we get ourselves in trouble, because we think we know what we need, but God actually knows what we need. Amen. So I hope that you're going to pursue true north. There's always a deeper place in him, and he'll allow us to find that deeper place. And I just exhort you to not faint and to not grow weary. As the scripture says, in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. And so with that, I release you to the fullness of God's blessings today. We, as always, the altar team will remain behind for your specific prayer needs. And so quietly visit with one another out in the lobby. Sign up for the lunch if you haven't done so yet. If you're not having lunch, you don't have to sign up for the other sessions Friday night or whatever.